It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Well, she's on her way.
Who's on her way?
Well, my daughter just came by, dropped off Amy. She's on her way to the hospital, so there could be a new little...
She's about to bring out grandchild number two.
It'll be another little Williams in the world. Won't that
Ooh.
Be fun? So we're thinking
Grandpa
of her today.
Squared.
We're thinking of her today. In fact, we won't even be able to tell you on the next podcast what's happening, because we're going to do two back-to-back again for the holiday weekend coming up.
Well, so from the looks of things... You might be able to.
We might be able to tell
it
you before
was,
we're done
it
recording.
It was darn close enough. We're just going like, is she going to deliver this baby here or at the hospital?
Well, if we do it here on this podcast, it'll mean she didn't make it to the hospital. She's a good 30 minutes away from the hospital. So there you go.
May she get there.
Oh, I forgot. Wait, hold on. This is good. Look at this.
Wayne is running way over where?
Mr. Brad. Look at
oh,
this.
My gosh.
Look at this. Wow, is that cool or what?
I have an official God Journey mug that says Gratefully Disillusioned.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
It's
and
yours.
There's cold coffee in it.
It's Diet Coke. Diet Coke, dude. We don't do coffee here at the God Journey.
Oh, hallelujah. This is beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
All right, I'm not for hawking merchandise, but... I'm looking at this and thinking people are going to want one.
People are. We'll put a photo up on the website just so we can torture people with the fact that there's only about 10 of them in existence. And
we could put them on eBay and let them just bid.
We can. Just write me personally. We don't have to use eBay for that.
Okay. All right.
No, this I actually got up to...
This rocks.
I was up in the Central Valley this weekend, and Brad Nelson from Nelson Press in Oakhurst had printed some of these mugs up and gave them to the folks that came at the thing. So a few left over, so I brought you one.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you, Brad.
And it says...
From Brad.
From Brad. It says, Gratefully Disillusioned on the back, enjoying the God Journey with our logo and thegodjourney.com. So we're talking and saying, you know, we've talked about doing some muggy t-shirt-y kinds of things. And my desire has always been with that, not just to, you know, merchandise what we're doing, though I don't mind making a little bit of money off of this, so we can keep doing it. But
I'm thinking you're really not into making the money thing.
No, it's not the primary thing. But what I like about this kind of thing, I've had a couple of good t-shirts in my life. One says The Wilderness Project, Do You Dare on it, and it was part of a discipleship
conversation
thing
starters.
Thought, yeah, that's the deal. This mug that says Gratefully Disillusioned.
You gotta drink this at Starbucks, and I'll tell you, people will wonder.
And I showed it to my parents, and they're going, what does that mean? Gratefully, obviously they don't listen to the podcast, but there you go.
You're probably thankful your mom doesn't listen to the podcast.
So I can make fun of them, and they're never going to hear it because they don't listen to it. You know, I think they would love to. I just don't think they have figured out the whole iTunes, MP3. I just don't think they figured
it out.
Well,
yeah. I think the generation beyond you, they got, like, fear issues when it comes to technology.
Yeah. So I asked Brad, I said, yeah, I mean, you at a place where if we decided to do this, you could, because you and I don't have time to do this and do orders and... He talked about kicking back a little to God Journey if something like this could happen. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I don't know that we'll go any further with it at this point, but, you know, we've talked about some T-shirts that say Sacred Cow Tipping Team, athletic-type things. This would be a good time to say, if some of our artist types out there, if you've got some designs.
Oh, please, yeah, audience participation.
Gratefully Disillusioned is one that we talked about doing. Sacred Cow Tipping Team. And we're looking for fairly, you know.
Don't shoot on yourself or
don't
others.
Don't shoot on yourself or don't let good friends. Friends don't let friends shoot on themselves. We had a number of things like that. Somebody gave me this one. I thought this was good. Who said under control is a good thing?
There you go.
Like that.
I can sell that in some colleges.
So, you know, we've had some people all say, hey, I could design something like that, and then we've never showed up here. So
here's an ollie income free for people with graphic abilities.
If you can do something for mugs and T-shirts, and maybe we'll actually get this thing going, but I think the value is something that's not oblique, whose meaning is not absolutely clear, so that people will go, oh, what does that mean? Sacred Cow Tipping Team.
Conversation starters.
Exactly.
Things that will cause intrigue.
And help you get in the kind of conversations that will be fun to do without you having to manipulate it. Because maybe wearing the shirt's manipulating it.
No, I think the sacred cow tipping thing will cause much laughter.
I want one of those.
That's good. That's got to be the first out of the chute.
I want about 10 of those in different colors, you know, and
yeah,
elegant design with a little cow in there kind of rolling over or something. It'd be cool.
You know how they have those like birthday cards that you open them up and all of a sudden song?
Yeah.
I think we need a little greeting card that you open up and goes, it has a Boom. Sound.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
The God Journey greeting card. not sure how we tie that into Father's Day, but you know,
maybe, enjoy your journey.
Maybe Dad's your sacred cow. I don't know. So there anyway, these are fun. These are beautiful little cup mugs. A nice big heavy duty.
I haven't seen you run so fast in a long time. That was very nice.
Well, it was clear across the studio.
Dude, you did like 20 feet.
My doctor really said quick. I need more exercise.
Well, that's good.
I'm working at it.
I'll do a few laps while we're podcasting.
Oh, boy. So I had a good time. In fact, I had a parent up there say, our kids listen to the podcast. They love the sacred cow crash thing. We haven't used it in so long. And they said, what's the matter? You guys kicked all the cows over. And I went, oh, gosh, not
no,
even
no,
close.
There's mountains of them.
But we haven't used it in a while, so maybe we'll just throw it in here for the fun of it, because they're looking forward to hearing it.
You were traveling where?
Oh, I was up in Central California. I had one of those eternal days. Drove 6 hours to do a one-hour speech in the Bay Area, and then drove 3.5 more hours to get across the state to a retreat I did Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Oakhurst, where Brad was. Made the mugs. And it was kind of an interesting thing in Oakhurst. We had people there from every phase of my life, from people who have known me all my life, to people I met in various groups I was a part of and on staff with.
This was a Wayne reunion?
To people I just met a year ago, to people, well, it wasn't that really. It was just kind of a y'all come kind of moment. We had a weekend with a smaller group of folks that were really talking through some wonderful issues, great conversation. Then we kind of had this y'all come time. And that was a little, it wasn't my favorite of those things, because we had people all over the map. Oh man, I'm telling you, from, you know, just seeing through some things and, you know, got some anger and, you know, angst about the system as it is. People there who really are embracing, been listening to God Journey, transitions, read some of the books and going, man, we want our body to embrace this. So they're hoping to kind of bring that relational thing into their institutional format, which is always kind of fun, but you got to love the idealism of that. And then, so it was just and the conversation just, you know, we never got through introducing ourselves because people really
chimed in,
really got into introducing themselves, and everybody was throwing advice in on it. And I didn't even need to be there, actually. I could have not even been present for that part of it, but it was fun meeting folks. It was people I've been corresponding with, just met, and that was good. But the conversation, it felt a little unfocused for me. I kind of want to go, gosh, I hope that was valuable for people. But getting email from folks that said it was incredibly valuable, so there you go.
God has wonderful ways of weaving things in.
He has doing stuff, so that was good. And then it's home now, and I was worried about, because Julie was starting delivery kinds of signs last Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm thinking, please don't have the kid while I'm gone. I made it back in time. That's good.
There you go.
But I was only 4 hours away. Believe me, I would have made it back on time if I would have cut things short and headed for home. So, and then we got a tour of the print factory yesterday where they're printing the shack.
That was wild.
And we've entered our Tickle Me Elmo moment, and that we are going to have a 10-day gap here where there are no books in stock.
Yeah, probably within maybe, I don't know,
a couple hours.
5-6 hours, we may well be officially backordered. So they will be in time for Christmas. People are making their massive Christmases. I think the shack is going to be one of those biggest gifts given at Christmas.
Oh, I got people wanting to buy a case of them to give away to everybody.
Yeah.
Know? And so the new paperback, the new version of it, this will have a quote with Michael W. Smith on it, Winona Judd. So the cover's a little different. That'll be out November 26th.
Yep.
And then a hardback version around the 5th of December will be available. And Paul wrote a special article at the end of the book about how the shack came to be. So
that's
kind
sweet.
Of fun. So anyway, that's going on. A lot of mail from, Willow Creek deal, and then
imploding everywhere. That sparked a whole bunch of discussion.
Well, I want to talk about the discussion a moment, because one guy wrote me this, and I really like this, and I won't give his name because then he'll get, you know, flamed on the forum, and I'm sure he doesn't want to get flamed on the forum. Not that anybody gets flamed on the forum. They all play nice out there. Slow kids at play.
I get flamed every now and then.
I know. What's up with that? He says, He's just talking about the terms we use for church and how you and I try to use it differently, but you know, most folks out there still
it's
talk
pretty
about,
entrenched as a box.
You know, talk about leaving the
holy
church
hour
and all that kind of thing. He wrote this. I bring it up due to all the talk on the forum about leaving church, people going back to church. I so often hear you trying to address this misuse of the term church, but cleaning up language is a tough thing, isn't it? I find myself at times trying to mention to others that the way we use the term just helps perpetuate the difficulty in understanding that what Jesus' church is. And once you've stopped attending a Sunday morning event, you always have enough people thinking you're outside God's will, and that adding on top of that, we left the church, we don't believe in it anymore, this church sucks, just creates more difficulty and confusion. It's really interesting seeing what topics end up creating the most action on the forum. The Willow Creek discussion just keeps going. The focus of many still clearly seems to be so directed towards church and how to do it. It is a slow and difficult slog out of obligation and performance-based living, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a long, long, I think, slow journey for a lot of people. Because you know what? I think when it comes to intimacy dynamics, there's not a whole lot to discuss. There's a lot to enjoy if you're enjoying it. But if that's a foreign animal,
yeah,
what do you talk about? Well, other than I would sooner talk theory in some way, shape, or form, because your religious experts have much to wax eloquently on in terms of theories about this and that and paradigms and all that other stuff. But when it comes to just the enjoying of a friendship, the simplicity of that, there isn't a whole lot to discuss. There isn't a whole lot to do. And if you're walking in it, you'll have wonderful things to share out of it. If you're not, that's a painful deal.
In terms of how-tos, that I think that's true. But what I find, a lot of places where I travel, and I mean, this is my maybe bit of frustration through part of our larger discussion this last weekend, when the issues are always about church and people's angst with it or trying to reform it or what's all that, I think in the long run, I go away feeling like, gosh, we didn't talk about the most important deal, which is how do you know him? How do you break that whole performance obligation way of thinking about God and live in the beauty of a growing, indefinable, uncontrollable friendship? And what I find with people a lot, and this is just true when I travel, a lot of when I travel, you get there, almost all the conversation, first trip, or even first few hours, people processing out all these church issues, their angst, their hurt, their abuse, you know, coming to see this as a right and wrong issue, and now we're on the right side. And I just, you know, it seems like people even sometimes need to just do that for 6, 8, 9 months and realize there's not life in that dialogue either. There really isn't.
Yeah, it's like it takes a year to sort of detox.
And then when I go back to a group, we've already had that discussion. Then to me, we really get to the important stuff. How do I live as friends and friends of friends? How does this relational deal take on a reality first between me and God? So that's not just lip service, that's reality. And then, man, how do brothers and sisters find each other that are on this journey without starting something, without building another box? And I guess you've got to be in a place where that's the more important discussion, because I honestly think it is. I think when we're talking church issues and what my pastor did to me and all that,
there's secondary reactionary things.
And I certainly don't want to say that isn't part of the process for people. Sometimes you've got to find a safe place to air out where you've been hurt, how you've been hurt, how God might take you on. So I'm not saying that's an immaterial discussion, because I would never suggest that.
No, it's part of processing.
But the bigger discussion, as soon as we can get past all that, I guess that's what I want to say. Let's do that where we have to do that. And we've done it with Willow Creek a little bit and that implosion thing. And we did it last week with the whole religion and the culture thing. I love getting back to let's talking about who Jesus is, what he does in our lives. That's the bigger dialogue.
Yeah, because, I mean, to folks who have been in the system dynamics of religion and performance and achievement and results is kind of all the language and discussion, to just try to tell them don't perform, it's like trying to tell someone be 8 feet tall. It's like, you know what?
Right.
No. Those kind of go hand in hand. You don't really have a system that is governed by the kind of behavioral modifications of guilt and manipulation.
Yep.
And if you're a part of us, this is how you demonstrate that when you're trying to use all the performance indicators. You can't just sort of not perform in that environment.
Yep.
You're going to be a fish out of water. It's like that doesn't, you know, they do go hand in hand. Stepping out of that is a really tough transition for a lot of people. And telling them what not to do isn't going to produce anything.
It isn't. And yet the process is what it is. I mean, as much as I'd like to say, let's get past that, and I would, with, particularly with groups I'm at, the more important thing we can talk about here is Jesus and how he's impacting us, how he connects people. The fact is the process is the process. And
yeah.
People got to be on it where they are. It just it makes it, for me, if we don't get to that bigger discussion, I always feel like, boy, it's just not enough. And when I see like this one listener wrote in, when you see the forum, every time a church issue comes up, it's just
lots of discussion.
Everybody can't wait to get into that. And I understand it, but I also want to say that if you're looking to fix it there, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to fix that at a whole different level, in a whole different series of questions and realities and passions. And people who get through that process a bit, the discussion becomes much more impacting when it gets to real friendship issues and life issues rather than corporate issues, I guess.
You know, I liken some of this to the encounter that Job has. It's like you get a whole bunch of chapters of theological discussion, theory, and everyone's little, you know, that's their concept of stuff. And there's a lot of that in the book of Job. And yet, all the questions and all the theories seem to go out the window when it's finally the encounter with God time.
Hmm.
And it's like the questions don't seem as relevant then. And it's not that they're not valid questions, it's just that in light of his person showing up,
yeah.
And it's like, as opposed to the, oh, I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear, but now I see you with the seeing of my eye, and I repent, that's where change is brought. It's like, you know what, I can't manufacture change in me. It isn't how to improve your spiritual walk.
Right.
I mean, it's like we could toss out a bunch of suggestions, but at the end of the day, I don't really think those work well. Because it's only when I am changed, not when I'm trying to change myself. And it's out of, I think, the fullness of moments of encounter where it's like, you know what? I'm experiencing his life. I'm sharing the kind of life that is the glue of what church really is, where you're talking about something that you're being more than an activity that you're doing. And it's out of those encounters that all of a sudden it's like the light bulb comes on and you're just like, oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, and I wonder if part of that isn't the fact that our insecurities, and to me what the system of religious obligation, not every Sunday morning club, but just that whole system of performance and obligation, what it kind of leads us to believe is these programs, this leadership structure, this whatever, gives me a sense of security. And so when I find myself no longer fitting into that, I'm still groping for something to give me that sense of security. And I think what you're saying, which I think is just true, when I find God in a way that's real, he becomes the security.
Yeah.
So all the questions I was trying to answer to make me feel secure, or the program I'm trying to find so that I feel like, well, my future is secure in this new box or paradigm or issue about church, when that gets resolved in him, it's amazing what questions you don't need answered.
Yeah.
It's not the question is still there. It's just, oh man, if he's real enough every day, if he's connecting me with people, if two or three being together in his name is really the essence of church life, then all my other, how do we resolve this, and how do we, you know, who are elders and who are apostles?
They're not relevant.
Well, they become resolved in him, which to me is the best place. So when you say Jesus really is the answer, yeah, that can be a pat answer piece of garbage. Or that can be the real essence of the reality. Knowing him, there's so many of my other questions that aren't answered. They're just put to rest. They're just not significant anymore because I see his ability to give expression to his church the way he wants to. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, years ago, I had a wonderful, you know, kind of older brother in the Lord kind of deal that he talked of it as, you know, religion is sort of eating from the do-to-be tree. And it was just a wonderful way that he said it.
Don't say that too fast.
Is because so oftentimes the way this gospel, unfortunately, is presented.
Air quotes around gospel.
Yeah,
right?
Air quotes. Is the fact that if you will do these things, then you will be.
Hmm.
And that simply puts you on a performance treadmill. However well-intentioned and whatever the activities and however good they might be, you're still left with some sort of performance that if I do these things, I will be. And he kind of summarized all of that as the lie of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yep.
It's like you're trying to do something so that you will be. And he said the heart of the reality that's found in Jesus is that because you are, you shall be. It's like this will flow out of who you are. What you do will come out of being, not what you do will then make you.
And with that way of thinking, to me, that makes all of what Jesus did with his apostles make sense. Because he didn't take them little training classes and teach them systematic theology. He didn't teach them all these ways to organize a group of people. He was helping them see how it is that he lived in Father and how it is that they could too. And that, to me, that makes sense of that whole deal. He wasn't trying to pass on a thing. He was trying to connect them in a living relationship that would be the essence of the gospel, and from them went and transformed the whole picking world.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, I need this knowledge transfer.
Yep.
You just need to know more things. I mean, I think most people's approach to the Bible is if I could only gain a greater mastery of all these, if I knew more verses, or if I had a greater sense of how to rightly divide the word of truth, somehow I'm now going to be more spiritual, more whatever. And you're just going like, you know what? It's not that that's fruitless. It's just that it's not true.
The answer is not there.
It isn't
alone.
It isn't just more knowledge.
Absolutely not.
Because it's more of a revelation that comes to me. You're like, when I understand that I'm loved, I mean, how do you try to be more loved? Is there an activity you can do that will make you feel more loved?
Well,
no.
If I suck up to you and I do everything you want and I say yes every time you ask me, wouldn't you love me more?
No.
You don't love me at all now?
Some.
Perfect.
But think of the bankruptcy of out of our insecurity, I'm trying to do something that will convince me that I'm more loved. And you're just going like, you know what? I don't think you can ever do anything that will achieve that.
But we have forever linked the air quote gospel, the gospel, with the performance of doing certain things that validate you, even if it's Bible reading and prayer, attendance on Sunday morning at the club. This is what one guy wrote to somebody that is also on our forum and said it about you and I and kind of the whole God journey discussion in general. Said, I've noticed a cool dynamic as I visit with men like you, that there is never the underlying attachment of how your support and wisdom link to any kind of church requirement. Do you have any idea how refreshing it is not to have that component enter the conversation? It seems that if those things enter, the momentum shifts to how are you performing on that stage? It is nice to dialogue in a positive way without performance always entering into the conversation. I'm getting convinced my participation in any type of church activities or lack of participation is not the gauge of my faith. In the past, that influence has been pretty severe. It's great to converse with friends and friends of friends who do not adhere to that false concept. Isn't that great to say it?
I think that's part of the fundamental problem of why does this air quote gospel get warped? Is because if you have a system that has to be validated and there's leaders that are separating themselves from the herd, so to speak, that I now have to, quote, validate why I'm in my role, then the way to do that is to put a list of things that you need to do. Or here's information that I have that I'm now transferring to you, and that kind of self-validates my role of the mentoring leader thing. And it's like, when you start to do that, you're always going to go towards the performance deal.
Well, it's just easier, and I probably get this question, you know, 15 times a week. What do we do? What does it look like? Whether it's, you know, personal discipleship, corporate life among believers, just give us something to do. It is easier to give 3 steps than to say you need to connect with the King. It's easier for the person oftentimes saying, just give me 3 deals. Just give me. And I think where a lot of us are on this journey is we've had lots of 3 deals. And we've done all that stuff. It hasn't worked. So that's part of getting there. But I do think it is easier to pass on principles and propositions than it is for us to really find that simple engagement with the living God. And that's why it's easier to ask for a King than to follow the King. It's easier. And I think that's part of why this journey this conversation is so important to have. I think it gives people a sense of trust that God really can get through to me. He really can. that this is about him first, not me, and that the issues are less important than the relationship. And
well, you know what's so strange is, I mean, here we're coming up to, you know, Thanksgiving time and families get together and all that other stuff. And
our family will be bigger.
I don't know what your experience is in that whole dynamic, but when someone has taken it upon themselves to schedule the family get together with their agenda of, we will now have meaningful discussion. Does meaningful discussion ever come out of that concerted
quality time
effort? You know, we're all going to try to make this happen. And you're just going like, my experience is almost all of the efforts to make that happen that are sort of the forced, we are all now going to do this, as opposed to just allowing that to happen and hoping that it will. When it's forced, you're robbed of the very thing that you want.
Absolutely.
And I sort of feel like the whole dynamic with Jesus is like, you know what? The reality is he wants relationship with me far more than whatever mixture is going on in my own life in my effort to want him. And that's where my confidence has shifted. And even when I'm not answering the what do I do questions of people, you're just going like, you know what? The reality is if you expose your soul in availability, he will find you. He will find you.
He's really looking
for you. Yes. He's desiring of that moment. And if you allow it to happen as opposed to trying to make it happen, I honestly believe it's our insecurity of just waiting there. That's a frightful thing for a lot of people.
It is. And yet, I think most of us would say in our relationships, the most incredible conversations I've had with people, I think Sarah and I would say it about our marriage, the most incredible conversations are not even when we sit down and say, let's talk about our marriage. But something happened, triggered a comment. That comment went deep all of a sudden out of nowhere. And so it's not even just forced. It's also the artificial of, let's do it now, which is kind of in our intellectual time, rather than the real life unfolding, and here's a moment that's going to be powerful. And with my kids, I learned something about this that I think I'm learning with God. When you live that busy, harried life of always rushing from point A to B to C to D to E, you miss that because those spontaneous things start to emerge, and you're so busy running on to the next thing. And I think we do this with God a lot, that you miss the moment of just, if you just walked away by yourself for 2, 3, 4 minutes and just listened to him, and maybe it goes on longer than that. I know for Sarah, for my kids, it's been those moments have not come down, okay, Andy, let's talk about some deep things. His moment, it comes out. Maybe right in front of the end of the football game I want to watch, or a meeting I'm rushing off to when the kids were younger. And it was those moments, if you stayed, maybe ran a little late, maybe called ahead and said, I'm not going to be there for a moment. Because those propitious moments come, like you said, uncontrolled. They're not in our hands. And it's better that we learn to recognize them and then yield to them rather than somehow trying to orchestrate a counterfeit, which seems artificial to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think of your daughter about to give birth. Babies come when babies come. I mean, you can try whatever you want to sort of force the issue.
Yeah.
All those artificial means. But the reality is it seems that life happens. And when you can respond to life happening, wow, it's wonderful.
But religion is all about how do we control life itself? How do we get ahead of it and make it happen our way, kind of a thing?
How can I mimic it? How can I manufacture it?
And religion's
it?
Really good at that artificial.
It?
Yeah.
I don't think it's aware that it tries to do that.
No, I think it thinks it's life. That's all we know. We've got to orchestrate, now it's Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, let's have a spiritual discussion about something that may or may not be relevant to everybody sitting in on the lecture, but it was relevant to the lecturer that week, so he studied on it, so he's going to talk about anger. Well, if you're not dealing with anger today, or you're not dealing with...
it's not really relevant.
Yeah, that's the hard part. And then this, I think this is kind of relevant to this. You say, I feel like God is something better for me outside the church walls. And this letter gets down to what our first letter was discussing. Can we try to get that church term right? I know it drives people nuts. I go into home and people say, you know, the church that asked me to do this, you mean church or do you mean the religious club? And the people go, oh boy, and then everybody gets real picky about their language. I had a man challenge me in Australia, Kevin. We've met him on the podcast before. He challenged me, and we challenged each other, really. Gosh, probably 12 years ago now. let's use church only in the way that Father uses church. Not the way men use church, which is describes that building down the street or that particular club of people. And it has been life-giving to me, because if we give away church to the buildings and those units, it robs something in Scripture. And we say things like, I left the church. God's got something for me outside the church walls. I need to be separate from the church. And I think our experience when you really live this journey is you find yourself more connected to the church, not less so, when you kind of walk away from those systems that provide an artificial expression of it, not necessarily a real one.
Yeah, I think the systems, the structures, the performances, they actually get in the way of the beauty of what church is.
Yep.
And not so much what it can be, but just sort of waking up to the fact that, you know what? It amazes me that in an airport, I can bump into someone that knows this same Jesus, and we are functional strangers, never met, and all of a sudden, there's a fellowship. Explain that.
Yeah.
You can't.
No, it's a brotherhood, a camaraderie, absolutely, that transcends all that.
Yeah, there's a hard affection in reality that I think the best thing you can do is look, ask for eyes to be able to see it, and then a willingness to engage in it.
Absolutely.
When it's there, as opposed to trying to make it happen.
So let me edit this letter a little bit. It said, hi, sweetheart. That's my granddaughter's coming in. What are you doing? You want to see Grandpa podcast a little bit? There's my favorite granddaughter in the world coming in here. What's
hi,
up?
Amy.
Oh, okay. My daughter's on the way to the hospital, 2 minutes apart, and little Amy's coming here to join us for the podcast. So, hi, sweetheart. You want to say hi?
Yeah.
No? Okay. She's got a great future in this business, let me tell you. Anyway, let me edit this later. I feel like God has something better for me outside the clubhouse walls, separate from the clubhouse I'm currently in. And this is a guy that's a staff guy at one of these club deals, and he just presented a deal to his pastor a few weeks ago about it, what the pastor called a mega vision for the fellowship, and it's supposed to be this huge. And now he's decided, oh, that's just his way of trying to suck more people into the mousetrap. So now he's gotten this thing he gave to his senior clubhouse pastor leader type, and he said, now the real problem is, how do I let it go without killing my relationships inside the club? I'm truly feeling like church, the way I see it today, is so wrong. So that's club again, and I want out. I want that intimate relationship with God without all the jobs and responsibilities of doing the club activities, and to share that kind of love with everyone around me. I love listening to you guys, and now I totally agree with your outlook on the organized religious clubhouses of today. I don't know we had an outlook on that, do we?
I'm not aware that I did, but okay.
Well, most people think we hate it and want everybody to get out of it, and I think what I try to convey to people is, there's a lot of good that can happen in places like that. I'm not on a bandwagon to get everybody scared out of Sunday morning kind of involvement. I just say, have your eyes wide open. If this is an obligation, performance-based system, it's not going to help you grow in Christ.
I don't think it's any different than when Jesus said, you know, that we're to be in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
It's like, you know what? There's no other place for me to live. I live on this world.
Yep.
Okay? I hope that doesn't change with any immediacy right now. I'm not an astronaut. I'm not going anywhere. It's like, here's my home. And so I'm not trying to leave it, but I don't want to be governed by the things around me. I'm not going to be able to be removed
right
from the fact that it's around.
And if you're in a Sunday morning deal, again,
you don't have to leave it.
You don't have to. You can. You're not stuck there like we are in the world. So you could leave it anytime you feel like God asks you to. But I think that's the point. The point is, wherever you are, in, out, up a tree, down a creek, find Him there and ask Him what He wants to do with your life. The fact you get out of a Sunday morning club is not going to make your life in Him any more real or relevant. That of itself is not enough.
See, I think the system is empowered by our insecurities and the expectations and demands of others. That's what empowers this thing.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? You don't have to be in church to feel that. You can go to a family reunion and have the same system grab you.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just not in, quote, a religious context. And I think the kind of life we're being invited to enjoy is one that isn't governed by anything other than Him.
Yep.
And I think there's freedom to be found that when you stop to try to dissect this and figure, well, should I be in, should I be out? It's like, part of me's going like, wrong focus.
Exactly. Where is Father asking you to walk? Who's he asking you to walk alongside? That's the question.
Yeah.
We've made it about there's a right or wrong way to do this church thing, and I've got to find the right way. There is no right way. There is no system. And if I could save anybody about 40 years...
There's a hymn to follow.
There's a hymn to follow. But, boy, this would save people 40 years of moving from box to box to reading books with somebody else has got a new box to fit people into. Just if you realize this, and maybe it takes 80 years for you to learn this, there is no box into which the life of God will fit and will blossom. There's lives that God wants to live inside of, and there's ways God wants to connect those people, and there's expression he gives to the body. No box, no system, no means of whatever, corporate life, is going to guarantee that happening. It just won't. And so as soon as you stop looking for boxes and look for him, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah, and the joy of being able to share that is when he is central in my understanding and my affections, it really doesn't matter where you place me. I'm not bound by someone else's set of expectations. I'm not bound by the box they might feel very comfortable in.
And this is part of the process again, isn't it? Because
yeah,
if you hang out near people who are performance-oriented, and you find yourself spinning up into all the performance and guilt again, that just means you're not free yet. Doesn't mean someday of freedom you won't be able to be very, very much back in that environment and, like you're talking about, free of those expectations. But that's also part of the process. You're free to be there when you're free to be there. And if it takes you 2 days to recover from hanging out with performance-based people, then I would say, hey, take a vacation. Take your leave from that. Take a sabbatical until that freedom works in you so that you can.
Yeah, I mean, when you're trying to always answer, well, is it right or is it wrong? It's like, again, I sort of go like, gosh, I'm not so sure that's the focus. And then I think the other error is a little bit of, well, do I like this or not like this? I don't really know that it's about the consumerist whether I like it or not.
Right.
I do think that we're living into a little different dynamic where it's like, does Father want me here? Not, can I change this? Should I change this? It's like, if he wants you there, then in the simplicity of loving him and loving the people around you, you're going to experience life.
Yep.
And you will be able to, I think, enjoy that regardless of the shape or the structure.
Yep. Simon's going to miss his train stop again. Let me get to his question as we kind of wind up here. He says, but I don't want to be a stumbling block for my family, my club family either. I hope God shows me clearly what he wants from me soon. I know being free in Christ doesn't mean I must attend a church service or club service every time the doors are open. I look forward to any comments you guys have on this letter. He's really asking, how do I leave here without being a stumbling block to other people? Because he's on staff, pretty positive. And I think a lot of people I've talked to over this journey, you know, a lot of people who end up giving up on that form of expression and whatever one they're in, when you're a staff guy, an elder guy, when you've had some authority and weight in the deal, your leaving is not a neutral event.
It's a public statement.
It is a public statement.
Whether you know it or not.
People respond to it that way, and you know, people are going to ask you, what are you doing next? They're going to want you to, you know, make sure you're not falling away from Jesus. I always say to people, I don't know what you say at times like this, what I say to folks is, you being a stumbling block or not is really not in your deal, because that's how people respond to you. I think as lovingly and as graciously as you can make room for people to be where they are, as you're learning to live where you are, probably about as far as you can go and not trying to be a stumbling block. I like, I think Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards is one of the greatest books. I think it's a Christian classic. I'll be one of the top five, even though there's other things about Gene Edwards that gives me pause. And that is leave quietly. Don't take a lot of people with you. Don't have to tell them they're wrong to do what God's put on your heart to do.
See, I think when we make the focus of how do I leave as opposed to a life that I'm entering into, I mean, I think that it's not just wordplay. I think if I'm following the life of Jesus, my focus is not leaving or walking through some doors as I'm walking away from that.
Yeah.
I'm following him. And I think when your focus really is that, then your language isn't disparaging on other things that may be where God is meeting other people.
again, part of the journey, isn't it? Because for a lot of people at the very beginning, it is that.
Yeah.
I have to rag on that to take my distance from it. And so if you do, you do. God knows I did at that stage in my life. I had it, to me, it was right or wrong, and they were right, they were wrong, and I was now doing right and better thing. I just think you've got to know it's not serving you. It's not serving the kingdom. So get through that, you know, whatever the process does to get through it. Because you really want to be able to free to live without having to demean anybody else's ways of doing things. But you going on as a follower of Christ, if there are people you love that were part of clubs you were part of, continue to love them. They may distance themselves from you, but you don't have to distance yourself from them. You can invite them out to lunch, go play golf with them, have an afternoon.
But I think that's the hard part, is because I think we wrongly interpret those things. We don't see that as people trying to process whatever's going on with them. We kind of internalize that and make it far more personal and take the rejection and react out of that. And it's like, if you can simply sidestep and recognize some people are going to understand this, many others might not. But your real issue is, am I following him? And if so, it will be okay.
It will be. God will take you to next steps. He will show you how to be loving in the best possible way. And that's great stuff.
Yep.
More Diet Coke from the God Journey mug.
Hear, hear.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.